This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. اليوم 12 من شهر شوال 1444 الموافق للثاني من شهر مايو 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. الحمد لله, we managed to come back to continue with our mission. And last time, I believe we stopped at a new topic. And if I'm not mistaken, we talk about the first ayah quoted by Imam al-Nawawi under this chapter, بَابٌ حَثُّ السُّلْطَانِ وَالْقَاضِي وَغَيْرِهِمَا مِنْ وُلَاةِ الْأُمُورِ عَلَى اتِّخَاذِ وَزِيرٍ صَالِحٍ وَتَحْذِيرِهِمْ مِنْ قُرَنَاءِ السُّوءِ وَالْقَبُولِ مِنْهُ. It's a very important topic that reminds us about the fact that usually the leaders are influenced by those people who are surrounding them. As-salamu wa rahmatullah. Please. Influenced by those who are around them. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded the leaders and the authority to make sure that they take the best to be around them. Naturally, we cannot live alone. We need somebody to contact from time to time to ask him for advice when we are making decisions. This is in the normal circumstance. When it comes to the leadership, definitely this concept of shura is needed. Well, I need some people that you consult from time to time. You share with them your decisions and your ideas, your opinions, what exactly you are planning to do, so that they can advise you, they can guide you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit with the companions in many instances before he makes the decision, especially when it comes to the matters of politics. Issues where there is a text from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no consultation. It's just executing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. But if it is a matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say anything, and it is part of the worldly affairs, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to involve the companions to help in making decision. That's why when they had the first battle, which is the Battle of Badr, and that was the first time they got war prisoners, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know what to do with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for wisdom, he let the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take the lead in making decision concerning what to do with them. So they have several options that come to their mind, either to let them go free of charge, or to ask them to pay the ransom to free themselves by themselves, or to enslave them, or just to kill all of them. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was consulted by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because those were the closest people to him, Abu Bakr and Umar. So he talked to Abu Bakr and talked to Umar. Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, we should show no mercy. We have our family members also that came here. Let us go and deal with our families. I want the brother to go and look for his brother or his father or his uncle or whoever participates in fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want that brother to deal with him to show that there is no connection between kufr and Iman. Abu Bakr said, no, Ya Rasulullah. These are our relatives. They came here to fight us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us ability to defeat them. And we have a lot to do in the future. So it's better to let them ransom themselves so that we can get something also to prepare for the future. But the correct decision is not this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, مَا كَانَ للنبي والذين آمنوا ما كان للنبي أن يكون له أسرى حتى يثخن في الأرض. the opinion of Umar was the one that was supposed to be taken. But since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have a clear text that tells him what to do, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw that which was proposed by Abu Bakr to be the best thing to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed them harshly in the Quran. Umar met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr crying because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْلَا كِتَابٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ سَبَقَ لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَخَذْتُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. If not because of a book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written before, that His mercy supersede His anger, you guys are going to be punished by Allah because of that decision that you made to free them. Abu Bakr cried, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried, Umar radiallahu anhu met them, and he saw them crying, and he told them, Ya Rasulullah, what made you cry? Please let me know. If it is something that worth crying, I will cry with you. And if it is something that doesn't worth crying, but you decided to cry, I will force myself also to cry with you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that decision they have taken was wrong. You were not supposed to deal with them in that way. They're supposed to teach them lesson. And subhanAllah, these are the rules Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, you know, through events that He let them happen for wisdom, so that we can learn a lot. You know, the Battle of Uhud happened after that, and the kuffar came to fight the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those enemies, who was there to fight the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The ones that were freed by the Muslims. They went and they prepared, and they came back to take revenge, and we lost not less than 70 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Rus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it happen. Allah, if you wish, He can let the Muslim win the battle without fighting. That's why He gave us all sorts of examples. The one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when he was more powerful than the enemies, and he won the battle. When they are more than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of preparation, and he won the battle. When they are much greater than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his army, you know, their army is even bigger than the population in Medina. They have no doubt, even the Jew, when they see that, they decided to break their treaty, you know, and the agreement between them and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because everyone believes that it's over, and Medina is going to be erased by those guys. But subhanAllah, did they even fight? No. Allah says, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْرِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. He just wanted the Muslimin to pass the test, and they did pass the test. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. Imagine their heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described their heart, you know, as something that reaches the throat. It's almost going to come out, you know, out of the fear. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving them Jannah, confirmed Jannah, if you just go and see what those guys are doing. But nobody is making any move. Nobody is willing to go, you know. So that you will understand how much, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook them on the earth. But subhanAllah, they passed the test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took over the battle. He says, رَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْرِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did the battle on their behalf. They did not fight. Allah took the enemies back to where they came from. وَأَنزَلَ الَّذِينَ ظَاهَرُوهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ سَيَصِيهِمْ وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعُبَ فَرِيقًا تَقْتِلُونَ وَتَأْسِرُونَ فَرِيقًا. And the Jews that cooperated with them to come and erase the Muslim from existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also got them after the battle of Ahzab. So when it comes to the matters of ijtihad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam usually consult the companions to guide him. In the Battle of Uhud also the same thing happened. The Prophet ﷺ brought the companions. When he knew that the enemies are coming to Medina to fight them, he brought the companions. This time around, the Prophet ﷺ brought everyone. The younger ones, the elders, you know. And the Prophet ﷺ told them, I saw a dream that we're going to engage in a very harsh battle. And some of my companions are going to be killed. And a family member from my side is going to be killed. And also, I saw me wearing a very strong shield. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what do you interpret that dream with? Especially the last part of it. He said, I interpreted that if we stay in Medina, the enemies will never win. Yeah, that shield is representing, it's referring to Medina. So he said, if we're to stay in Medina, we will never lose the battle. Yeah, that's very obvious because they don't know the country and everyone is going to fight them. You don't know who is fighting you. Sisters are going to fight, brothers are going to fight, sick people are going to fight, old people are going, kids are going to fight, everyone is going to fight. That's why the possibility of them succeeding in that battle is very, very low. So the Prophet ﷺ said, my interpretation of the dream, which is the correct interpretation, because a prophet doesn't make mistake in dream interpretations. So he told them, we stay in Medina. But the younger one said, no. The old one said, yes, we agree. We stay. We shouldn't go. Let them come and meet us here. The younger one said, no. Last time our brothers went to the battle of Badr, and each and every one of them was given a free, ticket to Jannah. They got a certificate that they will never go to hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ittala ala qulubi ahli badrin, faqala ya ahla badrin, if'alu ma shi'tum fa'inni qad ghafartu lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do whatever they want, he forgave their sins. So those people who did not manage to contribute in the battle of Badr, they regretted of not going. And that was not their fault, because the Prophet ﷺ wanted Muslim to move very quickly. Some of them said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't have anything on our hand. If you can just allow us to just go to our house, they were there. We just pick up our weapons and come and meet you. He said, no, we need to move right now. Whoever is ready, let it just go. That's why they moved to that place unprepared. So some of them did not manage to go, because not everyone was there when the Prophet ﷺ was making that announcement. And now this news comes to them that whoever was there was given the promise that he will never go to hell, he will go to Jannah. So the younger ones are looking for next opportunity. When the battle of Uhud comes, they were so happy with it. And the Prophet ﷺ wanted to stay, but they said, no, Ya Rasulullah, this is our chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it to us, and we don't see any reason why we can't go and meet them. So since they are the majority, the Prophet ﷺ followed them. He went. But subhanAllah, they regretted when they see the Prophet ﷺ wearing two shields, one on top of the other one, which shows that jihad in Islam is not about killing. It's about removing the evil that exists in the community. You also, it's not about you losing your life. That's why some scholars said, you have to stay away from the places where you realize that if you are in that place, you might lose your life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes to the place, he wears the shield. It doesn't just go like that. You can just go and say, tawakkal to Allah azza wa jal. The best of mutawakkilin is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Muslims saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preparing and he went out, and they can see from his face that he is not really happy. Yeah, because the dream tells him that many are going to be killed during this battle. So the Prophet ﷺ was not really happy. But since the decision of the companions and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let him also consult others, so he took that opinion and they move. So when they saw him like that, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we agree. Let's stay in Medina. He said, no way. Because according to the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet, that if a Prophet wore his armor, there is no way for him to go back, except if a command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to stay. He has to go to the battlefield. He told them, no way. After this, it is not permissible for me to stay behind. I have to go to the battlefield. Even if I'm going alone, I'm going to go. So whoever is following me, let's go. So they realize that they made a mistake in pushing the Prophet so much, but they can't also convince him to stay behind. So what I'm trying to say is that in the matters of politics and dunya matters, a leader is highly recommended. Actually, he has to. You cannot lead alone. You must have somebody next to you that you consult from time to time to let you know whether you're right in your decision or you're wrong. That's why the Prophet said, in this topic of ours, as a leader, you must make sure that the one who is next to you is a righteous person. Yeah, because these are the ones that have no interest in what you have, and they have no interest in your leadership. Actually, they're running away from it. they will never cooperate with somebody to overthrow your government. If they do that, that's mean they're not righteous at the first place. Because the righteous people understood what the Prophet ﷺ tells them concerning being dedicated and honest to the leaders and giving them the best of the advice and doing everything possible to make sure that their protection is maintained. That's the only way, and that's the only way that the leader can have this good protection, He needs somebody next to him. Because all of the tragedies that people in the past used to fall in, don't be surprised. The next and the closest people, these are the commentaries that we watch from time to time. People who are next to them, the enemies, when they come, they cooperate with those ones. So you need somebody who is honest. And only Islam can make somebody honest with you. Allah, dunya will never make somebody honest with you. If somebody gives him more than what you are giving him, he will just open his eyes and take that one and do everything possible to make sure that you go. But if you take somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the one that walks with you, not because of who you are, but because Allah commanded him to be honest in terms of his advice and his dedication to whatever bring good to the community. So Al-Nawawi says, in Islam, the Sultan is recommended to make sure that those who are surrounding him, they're the righteous people, and also the deputies, they should be excellent. They should be good. That's why when it comes to the wilayat in Islam, a leader must make sure that the people who is representing him in any ministry is somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and can handle amanah. It's cheating in the amanah according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for you to give the authority and the leadership and to appoint somebody who you know is not a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the support of it. Because you are supposed to be taking a back seat and sleeping and from time to time checking the account with them. You can't just appoint a minister and every single moment you have to get involved in the ministry. But when you get the righteous, if you get the wrong du'a, yes, you have to keep doing that throughout your life. But if you get the righteous person, somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have no interest except in that which bring good to the community, you Allah. As a leader, this is the time that you will get busy with other affairs. That person will do the job for you. In the past, this is what they do. Unless if they receive complaint, but they close their eyes and focus on the bigger matters. Small issues. They have governors, they have ministers, they have whoever they appoint. Those people, they're very honest and dedicated. Imagine you can have a person, because of his honesty, the leader of appointing. Nowadays, in many places of ours, you cannot imagine this. A judge, making a decision in the court against the leader. Maybe even in the dream, it doesn't happen, Even in the cartoon show, it would never not be played properly. But in the past, it happened, Khalifa himself has to be brought to the court. And he has to come. And he has to comply with the laws and the rules of the court. Sit next to the complainant. In the same place. And they used to remove the title and call him with his name, Al-Mujarrad. So that person will not be afraid of him. And sometimes that person will not be even a Muslim. Ya Allah, this is what we call universal justice. That only in Islam you can find this. No love for Dawran. No muhabbat. Nobody is above the law under the Islamic leadership. So that's what happens when you appoint somebody who fears Allah because he's doing the job. That judge who was appointed by Ali bin Abi Talib, he thinks about Allah before he thinks about Ali bin Abi Talib. And this is who they were. That's why they succeeded and we failed because we have people who are above the law in whatever Muslim community you go to. قال وزير صالح وتحذيرهم من قرناء السوء. And also they are advised not to bring closer to them the evil ones. When they know that somebody is corrupt, they're supposed to keep him aside and they shouldn't worry. Yeah, because if they don't do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withdraw and let them deal with the matters alone. قال الله تعالى الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. In Islam, a Muslim is supposed not to tolerate to be in the circle of the wrongdoers. Yeah. It might look so fancy, you know, the way they look, the way they do things, but there is a big regret in this dunya. And in the hereafter, the biggest one is going to take place when you let somebody who is a wrongdoer to be on your side. Wallahi, you don't need them. Throughout your life, you don't need a wrongdoer to be next to you. You visit them, you sit with them, you advise them, you guide them, no problem. But to become your closest friend, you don't need a wrongdoer to be like this. This is very dangerous because as-sahibu sahib. No matter how much you try your best, one day they will drag you. You Allah. No matter how much you try, one day they will drag you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'aduhum li ba'adhin aduun illa al-muttaqin. On the day of judgment, Al-akhillau, who is Khalil? Khalil is somebody who loves his friend, his brother. The highest level of love, they call it Khalil, because they said this is the love that is mixed with every part of the heart of this person. The heart is 100% dominated by this love. These are the people who share secrets amongst them. It's like they are twins. They do things together. They share secrets, you know. They decide together. They go together. They eat together. The closest friend to each other, exceptionally close to each other. Allah says on the day of judgment, بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. They will become enemy to each other. Subhanallah. In this dunya, it's like they never get separated. They're always together. On the day of judgment, they will become enemies of each other. Allah says, إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Except the muttaqoon. Subhanallah. Who are the muttaqoon? Those people whose friendship and brotherhood was based on taqwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three things, whoever has them, فَقَدْ وَجَدَ حَلَوَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. One of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. To love a person, not for the sake of anything, except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ my dear brothers and sisters, this is the only brotherhood and friendship that works and benefits in this dunya, realistically. Yeah, you might say dunya-wise you are benefiting from him, but realistically the only one who benefits you in this dunya, the real benefit, is somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only one who will benefit you, if that benefit is possible on the day of judgment and remain with you, is the muttaqi, somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those ones, they live with you honestly in this life, they guide you, they monitor what you're doing. They're very honest and dedicated in guiding you. They're willing to sacrifice everything they have for the sake of your comfort, for the sake of your religion, religious preservation, to make sure that everything about you is intact. This is a real brother. As the hadith says, your real brother is the one who always reminds you when you tilt, the one who tells you what is wrong in your life so that you can fix it. Your real enemy, although he claims to be your brother, is the one that sees you doing the wrong thing. But unfortunately, he doesn't tell you this is wrong. This is what we have nowadays. So that's why don't worry at all. Look at the surrounding and see who are the people who are willing to come closer to you. Don't you ever accept to become a friend of a loser. The poet says, إِذَا مَا صَحِبْتَ الْقَوْمَ فَاصْحَبْ خِيَارَهُمْ وَلَا تَصْحَبِ الْأَرْضَ فَتَرْدَأْ مَعَ الرَّجِي. When you want to take people as friends, take the best one. Don't you ever agree to take the bad ones, because you're going to end up being bad like them. This is very natural. Yeah. Only a loser will miss this point and say, maybe I might guide them. This is what they say. You know, I'm coming closer to them so that I will guide them. But then at the end of the day, the influence of the evil is so strong in the way, instead of you guiding them, they take you to their own path. That's why the best is to take the righteous people, cooperate with them, construct very strong, you know, subhanAllah, brotherhood amongst yourself, and then approach those people who need your guidance. You have a backup. If you go alone, wallahi, you might be distracted by the dajjal you're going to see from those ones. When you have your friends, you have your brothers who are next to you, when you start to join those ones, your brother will tell you, you started to go too far. We believe this is the time to step back a bit. Go and get some preparation and then move back again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. Don't you ever agree with somebody to become your friend or your brother except a mu'min. You know, look at the choice of word. Not Muslim, he said mu'min. As a higher level, you know, much better than an ordinary Muslim. He said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. And make sure that the one who eats your food is somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think this is the best time for all of us living in this time of ours, you know, which is so contaminated. You Allah, to check and see who are your friends. Make sure that you take the best and don't worry. You know, life with them according to others is so boring. You don't have a lot of entertainment, you don't have, you Allah. But that sitting that you have, you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you discuss matters and issues, you Allah. It is greater than the dunya and whatsoever is in it. You're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings uns to life, which the rich people and the people of fame, they don't know. And this is the ni'mah that some of the Salafus Salih were referring to when they say, we are in a ni'mah. If the rich people know about it, they will be willing to fight us with sword in order to get it. So I really urge myself and my brothers and sisters to make sure that the people who are surrounding you are the best one in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that you are happy to be with them. Whenever you see them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And you take the back seat and relax, because you know if you're wrong, somebody is there to fix you. Don't you ever agree to go with the wrongdoers, even if they are the best in terms of dunya gain. قال وعن أبي سعيد وأبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما بعث الله من نبي ما بعث الله من نبي ولا استخلف من خليفة إلا كانت له بطانة تأمره بالمعروف وتحضه عليه وبطانة تأمره بالشر وتحضه عليه والمعصوم من عصم الله. So this is the first hadith quoted by Imam al-Nawawi. But I guess the prayer time, do we have? No. Only 1 minute. Yeah, so only 1 minute to read the hadith again. So inshallah, next week, بإذن الوحيد الأحد, we will come back to go through the interpretation of this hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيلٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Okay, as I was saying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defines Islam with those physical activities, and Iman with the hidden activities, the activities of the heart. And this is how we differentiate between them. Which is the heart. Iman is more important than Islam. That's why when yes, because this is a daraja, a'la min darajati al-Islam. Islam comes first, and then Iman is daraja, is perfection of that Islam that you have, you know, to those imaniyat that the person has in his heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, he defined Islam with the physical activities, which I call the translation of what is in the heart. Because Iman is amal al-qalbi. You get it? Amal al-qalbi. You don't see it. So if you don't put it into action, it will not be present. That's why according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Iman, when you define it, you have to define it with these three things. Amal al-qalb, وعمل الجوارح وعمل اللسان. And most of the scholars, the vast majority of the scholars, believe that Iman cannot be completed unless if you have this, the cooperation of these three. The Hanafis, on the other hand, they believe that yes, actions should be also part of Iman, but not in terms of the scholars is the correct opinion. He says Iman has 70 something branches. You get it? And he says أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق. Removing something which is harmful to the community from the road is the action of the limbs, not the heart. But the Prophet also make it as a branch of Iman. That means a'mal, they're part of Iman, integral part of it actually. Yeah, how do I know that a person is Muslim if I don't see him praying, if I don't see him fasting? If he doesn't go, he has the money, he doesn't go for Hajj. If I don't see him dressing like the Muslims? In some places, you know, we are told when the clash happens between the Muslims and their enemies, you know, subhanAllah, people used to recognize their brothers through the way they're dressing. Yeah, we don't claim that there is a specific dress which is called Islamic dress, but Islam asks you to dress in a certain way, very decent. So how do I know that this is one of us if I don't see him practicing Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُذِيَا إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never neglect your iman. And he's referring to the salah. Imam Bukhari says, "Ay salatakum bil bayt," because the Jew were making it a big issue when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the Qibla to Al-Kaaba. They make it a big issue. What happened to the prayers of the Muslims who prayed to Bayt al-Maqdis before the change happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as if there is nothing in Islam except a prayer. "Laysa al-birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibla al-mashriqi wal-maghrib, walakin al-birra man amana billahi wal-yawm al-akhir wal-malaika." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted them. You get it? And Allah said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُذِيَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. So we learn from this that amal is an integral part of belief. Faith cannot be completed if a person doesn't incorporate it and adorn it with action. Al-Hanafi, in his commentary of the Tahawiyyah, he has another approach which is quite interesting. He says, actually, since those Hanafis also, they believe that amal, they are wajibat al-Iman. So according to him, there is no difference in terms of, you know, meaning. The difference between the majority and the Hanafis is just about the text, the wording, you know, because they also believe that it's wajib for a person to have action for his iman to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to summarize, Islam is based on the physical activities that we see, and iman is based on the hidden activities, and these are the most important things. Because these are the ones that takes a person very clearly out of Islam, and these are the ones that brings a person inside Islam. A person might say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, but he's lying. Ibn al-Qayyim in his book, Bada'i al-Fawa'id, he says, if you see somebody making sujood to the sanam, you cannot rush and say to him, he is kafir, he went out of Islam. He said, you have to go to him first and ask him. Hatta tuqim alayhi al-hujjah. They get that, I'm coming to that one. So do you get it right? Yeah. So that you these are two different people, actually. When the Prophet said, "And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak," he's referring to two different kinds of people. And somebody whose sincerity is so strong, he does it because he knows the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's the only one who deserves it. He doesn't need somebody to threaten him. He does it out of love and sincerity and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He maintained the balance of both love and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the hope. He worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on that. There are others, they need to be threatened first. They understand that if they don't do, they will get to be punished. And then they will be very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're doing it also sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the main motivating factor for them to be very dedicated to Allah is that that fear of the punishment. And you have others who are motivated by all of these pillars of ibadah, the hub and the hope and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they do whatever they do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely for his sake and out of love. You get the idea. So I can put it for you in this, in summary, that Islam is the physical activities, Iman is the amal of the heart, Islam is a translation of that which is in the heart, and Ihsan is the perfection of both, where you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you see Allah subhanahu in front of you, because you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you worship him because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever you are doing. Thank you very much. May Allah ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. Inna kulli jamilin kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.